click, 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 click.
I'm gonna have to get something. I'm gonna have to little get a stop thing.
What are those things in music? You know, the ones top, what medium ones, big, the wooden ones.
Metronome.
No, the
glockenspiel.
Yeah, no, but like, there's a handle, you know, like a small wooden bit and a big wooden bit with like ribs on, and you could like.
It's a glockenspiel.
Am I confusing that with a xylophone? Nah, fuck it, whatever.
Glockenspiel. I think it's a glockenspiel. Yeah. But yeah, click, 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 click. I might get a cowbell. If we get a cowbell.
Well, we need more cowbell, obviously.
If we get a Gems of Rock cowbell.
Fucking little.
Mate, yeah.
Get like a dinner bell over at a ranch.
Right. Welcome to the Gems of Rock podcast, where two best friends talk all things rock music. I am DB, and across the table from me is my gorgeous co-host, DJ.
Hello, everyone.
Theme song.
We're back to regular recordings. We're on this. We're two for two.
Audio equipment hasn't blown up yet.
Yeah, we're good. We're grand. We're nailing it. We based on the discussions we had in our kind of welcome back episode last week, we both, like, even though we've been spending a little less time together because of the festive period, clearly are occupying the same brain cell.
Yep.
Because we came to each other and said, I like talking about songs on TikTok, and we're both scared of the inevitable hill of 3-0 that we don't want to talk about. So we're going to keep finding new music. So
mid-20s, mate, mid-20s.
Ah, that denial. I can taste it. We decided that each week we're going to try and discover a new song for each other, even try and keep it as current as possible and not delve back into the 2000s, but play a song for each other, talk about them, and just have some kind of our picks for the week, or something we've been playing a lot, something we've liked, something we've discovered. And you kind of wanted to cause structural damage to my house with yours this week.
I did. So I mentioned it to you last week. So I was driving in my car and I needed to get somewhere quick. So I was like, I need quick music. Need quick music on. So I went to some really dirty drum and bass things. And I was just going through random tracks. And I was going, okay, Google, play such and such by such and such. And I just set my Google off on my phone. And so then just talking to my car for a bit and just saying, okay, play this. Okay, play this. And then I said, okay, Google, play Crush on You by Nero.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone went, okay, playing Crush on You by Nero, the knife party version. It won't shut up. There we go. Which it heard me and then started instantly playing. But it is a very hardcore, cool remix of that song, isn't it? It's got a weird intro to it and then it just goes somewhere else.
Yeah, I must admit, my flatmate Grant, who has been a listener, my flatmate Grant at uni, who has been a listener of the show and a big supporter, and shout out Grant if you're listening.
Shout out Grant, beautiful bastard.
He was kind of my avenue into anything a bit more in the drum and bass, dubstep, house. I don't want to insult anyone for getting the wrong beats per minute.
Yeah, the dance element part of
rock. Anything a bit more electronic. And I honestly didn't know what direction that remix was going in. Like, it was playing it, I was singing along. You know, it's one of my favourite Nero songs. One, because I think it's a cracking tune. Two, because it used to annoy our other flatmate, Nathan, at uni.
Oh, I did not like it.
Yeah, he didn't mind it. He had a history with a partner with that song.
Ah.
So it brought up negative feelings.
Fair enough.
But any chance you get to wind up your mate, that's just the beauty of male
friendship. Like, of course you do.
Male friendship, you know. But yeah, it's definitely okay. Like the drums they've used, electronic drums, like really strong.
Yeah, it's a proper. So I think it's like a 707 drum machine or something. It's like a classic drum machine kind of intro.
Like I can picture having a little, you know, like light up.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and then it builds, and you don't kind of know what kind of drop it's going to be, because I don't know about you recently, but in all genres of music, both rock and pop and a few other things, I feel like everyone's being a cock tease with their drops
and
building up, and it just they're not either falling flat or they're going softer into it, and you want I want you to melt my face or blow my guts or bust my eardrum, you know, something like that. But yeah. Jesus, like, I don't know how I didn't guess Knife Party. Like, you gave me a few guesses, and I said Shy FX, I said Kill the Noise. I kind of went,
I was like, oh, you're close, come on, get the go, you'll get it. But it's properly, the intro to it is a bit weird, and it's a bit kind of like, yeah, it starts with Crush on You and you hear the sample from it, and then it just turns into a Knife Party track, and it's like, yeah, I am well on board with this.
Yeah, it's just prime what I consider dubstep. It is just like, in my head,
proper drumming,
like, it's just like, okay, look up in the dictionary, like an audible dictionary, it's there for certain.
So yeah, that was my
Bit of a left field pick, but I was here for
Danny says listen to this. Yeah, that works as a name for this section because we're both called Danny.
Danny Says. Yeah, yeah.
Danny Says, listen to this. Or Danny Says. Danny, yeah, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. We'll
fucking iron
it out, mate. We'll
Fuck it. We'll do it live. God, I need to get some modern references.
I know, yeah.
Post 2010.
We say this with our friends all the time. None of us have had an original sentence for about 12 years. Thought,
yeah, God. What was that like? Coming up with your own ideas and not just quoting every TV, film, and otherwise. Yeah. So my picks are a little bit more different. Not as hard or metal as I have been, and it was kind of akin to our conversation last week about things we've discovered via TikTok and trying to like a bunch of music. And my song was Rerun by a Los Angeles-based band called Honey Revenge. And it's in my head, like, you're always gonna. The problem is, like, I want them to have their own identity, but you've got a red-haired female-led band.
Have you? You didn't show me the band. Yeah. You just played me the song.
Well, I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to like twist your view. Like, but you have a you have a redhead led pop punk rock, so you know, or rock pop band. You know,
pop.
Yeah, insert your words. I'll give you the words. You put them in the order you bloody want. They've got about 157,000 monthly listeners. They've only got singles at the moment. They released their first single back in 2021. You know, it's only last week, isn't it? Right. But what I really enjoy, it's 2.5 minutes, really nice time, great distortion on a voice sometimes.
Oh, it's cracking, yeah. It's a cool little I compared it, it sounds very much like, I think it's Last Kiss or Blow Me One Last Kiss or whatever it is by Pink. She's got, you can hear the attitude in her voice as she's singing. It's very like the ups and down cadences and stuff like that are very akin to that track. But I loved it. Yeah. It was very cool, and I will be listening to more of them.
Yeah, it's so they've got about five. It looks like they've got about 5 singles out.
Yeah, man.
Very in that pop rock bracket, and yeah, it's and very clean vocals. I always appreciate clean vocals.
Absolutely.
You know, but then nice effects on it every now and again, but quite clear vocals, even though a bit more random in a pop rock setting, leads us nicely onto this week's obituary, I suppose.
Oh yeah. That's a bit of a, yeah.
Because there's been a death of a bachelor.
Oh,
no?
He's coming with it. He's coming with it.
No.
So, garbage. I think we mentioned it last week that Fall Out Boy had brought a new track out.
I don't know if we did. We mentioned it before recording. I don't think we actually mentioned it on the podcast. Yeah, like, I think we used it to...
we played it before we started.
Yeah, and I think we used it to talk about, like, oh, new songs and this, that, and the other. But I don't know if we actually mentioned it. I can't remember.
Okay, well, Fall Out Boy have a new song out.
It's banging.
And it's fucking... It is spot on. It is one of the best things you will ever do with your life, going to listen to that track. It is absolutely so good. And it is so good to a point that Fall Out Boy have come back so hard that they've retired Panic at the Disco.
The internet's been all over those memes. They've been so funny.
Heavy, man.
They've been so funny.
So.
And as one of our dear friends said, when we were talking about it in one of our group chats, he was like, what is this, 2006?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This, yeah, stepping back in time. But yeah, that Fallout track is legit. But yeah, so the big news from this week is Brendan's come out and said that it's because his wife is now pregnant and he wants to pull back a bit from the music scene and concentrate more on being a father and concentrate more on family and stuff. So he's decided to retire Panic at the Disco, to step back from it, and it's put an end to it. So, and then a lot of people have come back with the, well, that seems very much... he's decided that it's over, so now it's over.
Well, there's not been that many original members left. A lot of people have pissed out for
him. He's the only one left to the point where I didn't realise this until looking up a few little facts on him and stuff like that, but Death of a Bachelor was just him. It was a very much he recorded, he wrote and recorded the vocals, the guitar, the drums, like everything to it. That
akin
album
to
is.
Dave Grohl doing Foo Fighters.
Exactly, the
stuff.
First Foo Fighter albums was Dave Grohl in a studio, created it all, and then the band was just the band that could tour. So it was the people that he could get on tour to play the musicians and stuff like that. But yeah, so the fact that he has the authority to just go, yeah, do you know what? I'm bringing this to a close now.
He hasn't really alluded to what his next steps are, really, has he?
No, so he says he just wants to concentrate on family life suddenly. So I don't think he'll do anything else musically for a bit. I think he will completely step back away from it now and then focus on family life. But yeah, again, anything like this comes up in the news or media and stuff like that, you go, well, how many Panic songs do I actually know? And start actually going through them. And fucking hell, I didn't realise until going through the sort of This Is Panic at the Disco of how many tracks I knew by Panic. They're just absolutely solid. They're a fucking amazing band. So we started it with, you started it, when I said to you, it's like you probably only sort of spin off three or four from.
Yeah, I did need you to name a couple. Like, if you were to, like, gun to my head, or if I ever walked outside maybe a few years ago and had a Panic at the Disco t-shirt on, how you people, name three songs by them. Mm. Name your four favourite songs.
Yeah.
I seem to have picked up one or two songs maximum per album. Like, straight away, my brain went to Lying is the Most Fun a Girl Can Have Without Taking Her Clothes Off.
Did it go to that before?
Honestly, it did.
Really?
Yeah, you and Mooney,
I like that,
introduced that song to me. I feel like only yesterday. Probably was like 5 years ago, fuck knows. Time is a weird soup. timey-wimey, you know, let's not get the Doctor Who quote in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And since then, it has become my favourite Panic song. So oh, I'll get that out there early.
Mate, fucking yeah.
But then, yeah, because I must admit, I don't go straight to I Write Sins.
No.
No, I reckon someone put a Panic song on, that's probably my brain would go. Lying is the Most Fun.
Lying is the Most Fun.
Like the most fun, like, boring story. Like, you know, we've started a little tradition when we've been making tea, me, my sister, and a boyfriend, if we ever, like, whatever combination. We've started, like, giving each other, like, music challenges, right? I wanted to get a song on the Alexa that begins with a J,
yes,
or to do with the weather, or just taking in turns to ask for a song. And I was almost, I put it on earlier when we were making tea, and I was almost more impressed that I said the full title. Like, it took me a good 30 seconds to ask Alexa what I wanted to do.
By the time you finished saying the title, tea was ready.
Yeah, we're just chopping some onions. By the time we're done, Spagwell was on the table, you know what I mean? Like, Lying is the Most Fun a Girl Can Have Without Taking Her Clothes Off by Panic at the Disco. Breathe.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Can you?
No, I fucking can't. You knew what I meant.
I can't now, it's Tuesday.
Yeah. So that, yeah, I Write Sins. And then the Ballad of Mona Lisa rounds out my top three.
Oh, again, I love the Ballad of Mona Lisa. That's so good. But yeah, we've got to go to I Write Sins, not Tragedies, because that's emo and pop punk and everything to a T, isn't it? It's that track that if you're part of this movement, and you were part of this movement
at any
before,
stage.
Exactly, at any stage, when, if you're anything like us, when that song comes on my playlist or stuff like that, now I skip it. I love hearing it out and about in a club, or like if you're in somewhere and you play it, or like if you're in like Tash or an emo night or something like that, and it comes on, it's like, this is a fun song to get along with. If I'm on my own now in the car, nah.
No?
Because it's just, I heard it so many times. It's just,
it's probably a song that solo, yeah, doesn't have that enjoyment. I can almost agree. I didn't remember envision it that way, but like, if it, like, say we go to the telly now and stick Kerrang on or whatever,
yeah,
and they're playing it because they're in the news cycle, or you know, some of those, I was like, I'd probably keep it on because it's a good sing along.
I keep it on for the music video.
That's it, the iconic top hat and kind of circus vibes in the church.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot about that, but I think singing it with people, you know, the groom's bride is a. And having someone sing,
you know, and so good.
I think it's fun to sing with people. But yeah,
it's a good community song, isn't it? It's a good to be messing about with. Do you know, I get the same vibe with Misery Business by Paramore. Again, Paramore were one of my fucking all-time favourite bands. But yeah, Misery Business is exactly the same thing. Misery Business comes on the playlist now, I'm like, nah, skip. If it comes on somewhere, I'll massively jump it about and enjoy it. But yeah. But again, it's a fucking cracking song. And even if people who don't like Panic and stuff like that will probably know I Write Sins, not Tragedies.
Yeah.
But massive.
You had to remind me about 9 in the afternoon. That completely slipped my mind.
Again, it's so... It disappeared from mine. I don't know if it came... I don't know why you forget about it. But yeah, it's a phenomenal song. It's really, really good. But again, when that came out, obviously a couple of months around that coming out, it was fucking everywhere. It was played to absolute death. But yeah, I really like Mona Lisa. Ballad of Mona Lisa. And I like Ballad of Mona Lisa because... at one point, I was teaching, showing a little lad how to play drums. And I was trying to find songs that work quite well as backing tracks. You could take the drums out, so you could just drum along to it and just have the backing track. And someone had taken the drums out of Ballad of Mona Lisa, and that worked fantastically. The speed and the tempo of that song, just to put on a simple rock beat to it, was brilliant. So I just used to listen to it over and over again, just like pause, repeat, and pause, repeat, so I could get this kid playing drums to it. It was very cool. So yeah, I've got a cool little association with that one. But again, there's loads of songs that he's appeared on that you sort of forget about. So again, you say you've not seen Frozen or Frozen 2.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm a huge Disney fan, and for some reason, like, the Frozen and Frozen 2 hype kind of skipped me by. I know, obviously, like, the big tracks, you know, Let It Go, mm-hmm. Love Is an Open Door. You know, I know bits and pieces of it, but Frozen 2, very little idea of. So, yeah, their Frozen track. Was it Frozen 2 they did?
Frozen 2, there is a female artist that sings it in the movie, and then the sort of hook, the vocal hook of the sort of up and down cadence to it is really kind of grabs you. And then on the outro, on the outgoing tracks, the panic version of the song plays, and they did the version for the sound for the soundtrack for the movie. Fucking hell, it's so good. He's got that vocal range, hasn't he? Which I think we'll talk about when we name another track in a bit, but he's got that. As soon as you hear him, you know it's him, but he can hit some high notes just without effort. And listening to Into the Unknown by them was just phenomenal at showing off the power of his voice and the notes he can hit and stuff, and again, as well as being such a catchy song.
Yeah, the power of his voice, I always find quite interesting, because it doesn't always seem to need to change key or tone much. He can just extend it, and it just kind of keeps going. You know, sometimes, like, I don't know, they think of powerful female vocals, like maybe Christina Aguilera, or powerful male vocals, like, God, fucking, well, I feel good, Tom Jones. Like, oh, come on, he's the most powerful male voice. Like, right, you think powerful male voice, you think Tom Jones.
I don't know if I do.
Well, prove me wrong. Where'd your brain go to?
I don't know, maybe Barry White?
Well, we all have, like, we've clearly.
No, I don't know. Yeah, Tom Jones. Yeah, it's pretty.
Because you know, as I say, Dan, it's not unusual.
hey, this
that's
guy.
Too, that's too
hey,
good.
This guy.
Mate, one more, and I'm going home. I am not on form. What's the opposite?
Picture me cutting that right out of the episode and ended up on TikTok, because that's what's going to happen.
Please,
with
no.
That.
No.
Mate, we've got a good killing. We've got fucking. We've got like 1,500 views on that little TikTok thing.
But
I
yeah,
don't know what happened to my voice there? It fucking went.
Yeah, come back down now.
Yuri high. Yeah.
But his voice can just keep going, and I do appreciate that. You didn't have to remind me they did a cover of Bo Rap though.
I like it.
Like, obviously,
I
like
the cover of Bo Rap.
Obvious sentence is obvious. No one's gonna ever get near Freddie, but there's only three acceptable versions of Bo Rap. Right?
Oh, I can name two. I know.
Right. One's not a recorded version. See, you got Queens.
Yeah.
Obvious statement is obvious. Muppets.
Muppets, obviously.
Yeah, because Mama.
Which is fucking Mama. Good. I now, when Bohemian Rhapsody plays, I sing the Muppet version.
Yeah. Mama.
Yeah.
Mama. Just picture an animal just bobbing about.
Dada.
And then the third acceptable version is just any collection of drunk white people. Like, I feel like they're the
it's
only.
Known as the Sweet Caroline.
it's in the Sweet Home Alabama, Sweet Caroline.
Yeah. Seven Nation Army.
Come on, Eileen. Just like, pick all your just like white people out. But no, for me, yeah, I don't. It's just like it kind of made me feel.
I like it.
Brought my shoulders up. It was just like no.
I don't think it was that.
It's not bad. It's not.
I've
like,
heard worse versions.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm probably being.
I think Kanye tried to sing it once. It was fucking horrific. Yeah.
Like, I'm probably being a bit of hyperbole there, but I didn't like really enjoy it. I didn't. Maybe I just don't want to be reminded of the original Suicide Squad films. Because when you look back on Reflection, they're all right.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, maybe it's that.
Yeah. Fair. Fair enough.
And it's like, here is CGI villain and CGI enemies. Like, it's because so many films were doing that at the time, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like, it was that trend of, another beam going up into the sky.
I was
going to
say,
like,
what's it going to end with? Big beam in the sky.
Sky beam. We all love a sky beam.
We all love a fucking sky beam.
Portal to some other dimension world or something, other those. Are there any others of theirs we've not actually mentioned?
I really like some of their newer stuff. So I say newer from again, it's not new, it's old. But the Death of a Bachelor album, there's some stuff off that was fantastic. And again, shout out to Fel, because I think Fel got it years ago when it came out and had it on in his car, or had his Spotify player on his car and was playing me. Have you heard any of the new Panic songs? And I was like, no. And he played me the title track, Death of a Bachelor. And I was like, oh, this is really good. So yeah, Death of a Bachelor, the self-titled track itself, is phenomenal. That's really good. But the one that blew up recently on TikTok, which is the one that I came into your house singing, is House of Memories. And I'm not sure what grabbed it for TikTok or what get it, but from it going mad on TikTok, it then got thrown into the algorithm, and it's now one of their most streamed tracks from years ago. I don't like Viva Las Vengeance.
Right.
Which is the self-titled track of the album that he dropped last year. I just, I don't know. I was listening to it. It was the first song I put on the This Is Panic playlist when I was listening to it today, and I was like, "Oh, I'm not. I don't know if this is really me."
No, I do. I love how you brought up the new Panic, because I remember a lovely anecdote when you just mentioned Fel, how him and one of his younger sister, they don't always have the exact same music taste for some things, but as time's evolved, there's definitely been a lot more overlap, and they've got a lot more similar.
But I know the story.
I remember, like, because obviously, the amount of times I've spent in their gaff, and like, it feels like second home, you know. Mm-hmm. And I could, like, when he first told me this story, I could picture the exact floor layout and where they were. He was coming out of his room.
Yeah.
She was coming out of hers, and she was coming to see him, saying, "Oh, have you heard of this new band, Panic at the Disco?" And I think it was around 2018, because I think it was Pray for the Wicked, because I think she was showing him High Hopes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Pray for the Wicked or it was Death of a Bachelor. It could be, but just that whole, like, it's your fucking Aslan quote, "Don't quote the old magic to me, witch, I was there when it was written." And it's just like, oh. My reaction is almost like, oh, my sweet summer child. Just to quote a different bit of pop culture. Because I reckon from, like, even with my crap eyesight, I could identify a Fever You Can't Sweat Out's artwork.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, of course you can. It's one, like, of those. Yeah, yeah.
You don't need a lot. It's just the red colouring. It's that kind of different people at the table.
Yeah.
Is it like a TV in the background? I'm also want
to
do it without looking at it.
You'd be able to draw it if you needed to. You could notice. It's one of those classic, looks good as a vinyl albums.
I get that.
Very much one in the collection kind of thing there.
I don't think they've massively broken the pond over it. I've never really known how they've done for tours and tickets, but
I think they do well.
I think they've got a
solid cult following, yeah.
Because they're out, it's like anything, a lot of the American bands we've often talking about, of maybe the more modern era, particularly anything the pop punk, singles not amazing, but the singles have done well enough to get circulation on the music channels and in the right circles, and then the albums have done better. There's not a single that's cracked the UK top 10.
Not a single
squared. That's cracked the UK top 10. Six have cracked the top 40.
That's mad. The ones that cracked the top 10.
Yeah, and it's for me, it, like the two that you mentioned, that we mentioned towards the end, Built This House and High Hopes. With a more modern coverage, maybe they would have cracked the top 10. But they've
High Hopes, I think. Is that the one that's done the best?
High Hopes peaked at 12.
Yeah. Oh, so that just missed top 10 then. That's, yeah.
Nine in the Afternoon, 13.
Okay.
They are their best UK performing singles.
Fair enough.
Lying Is the Most Fun, 39. Woo!
39. Top 40 track. Top 40 track.
Yep. I Write Sins is 25, and they're their best singles. Albums do a little, do a wee bit better, like five UK top tens. So if you're getting five albums,
that's pretty strong, that's solid. Yeah.
That's where your cult's coming from. So their opener, Fever You Can't Sweat Out, that obviously broke and got that initial burst.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is 17th, but then Pretty Odd was two. It was second. Was two. Was second.
Was two.
Was two. Good word
teacher,
choice.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I know do the words.
Future
good.
Of your children.
I am well dead hands. Good at English. But yeah, Death of a Bachelor, four.
Death of a Bachelor.
Pray for the Wicked, second. Viva Las Vengeance, fifth. So clearly, even though they might not be on the singles front, but maybe that's just how music's evolving. You know, streaming and albums and one thing or another, but their past three albums, I say theirs, Brendan's, have all cracked the top 10. And just outside of that, Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die was at peaked at 10. So, weirdly, all the songs we've really mentioned, or the ones I've particularly mentioned, Vices and Virtues, which is by the Mona Lisa and a few of the others, and A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, they are their worst performing albums, which I arguably feel like are their best, but that's the Panic I know. Yeah. That, in my head,
that's what
Panic.
You go to, isn't it? That's like, absolutely. This is what you click to. Cool fun fact, they started out as a Blink-182 cover band.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
I don't know if it's like... Well, then again, it's like they're a cover band, so they're covering Blink-182, but were they trying to perform in the same style? Because I can't imagine his voice...
I know, yeah. You know it's, I mean? It's going in the same... He's very much a, like... It's almost gospel, isn't it? And I know they've got a big... They've got This Is Gospel, but I think he is from a very religious background and stuff like that. So, again, that'll be where that... I imagine his voice came up through those kind of levels. But the way he can sort of hold and go for cadences and stuff is fucking impressive. But, started as a Blink-182 cover band. It's pretty cool. And then when Blink-182 came off their first hiatus after however many years, and I think it was like 2004 they came back and did a tour, they got Panic at the Disco as one of the support acts. I'm like, that must be fucking cool to start your career as a homage to something, and then you are the cover band for them.
Yeah, I love stories like that. Did you, like, to go on a random tangent, did you see the one about Lewis Capaldi recently?
Maybe.
I really should get the article up, and I feel bad for not actually knowing the singer's name.
Butcher it, do it live.
Okay. A performer, a singer, I don't know to what level of professionalism she is, apparently drunkenly slid into Lewis Capaldi's DMs, or DM'd him drunk, and sent almost like an audition, a tape, a track, I don't know what it was, but whilst pissed up, she sent that to him.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the cold light of day, you know, maybe beer fear, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, she was, like, cacking her baggies. But apparently he's responded to her and invited her to perform with him on, like, his next show or some stage. Like, she's some Scottish performer.
Amazing.
She is a Scottish artist. I'll maybe try and get the article. But I saw it on BBC News earlier. And just, like, shoot your shot.
That's
like,
fucking cool.
Miss 100% the shots you don't take kind of thing.
But, yes, yeah. Brilliant. I like that.
It must be a really nice full circle weird realisation for them.
To come back round. So, let's place your bets. So he's retired now.
Oh, how long of retirement?
Yeah. So he's I don't think they've used the word retired. I think he has just said put an end, or however he's worded it.
I'll see if I can get
the way he's worded it. He's not given any indication that they're coming back. So, I'd say maybe 5 years. I think we're in the sort of five year park for it. I wonder how long My Chem were.
I'm looking forward to seeing everyone in Europe and the UK for one last run together. So that's towards the end of the quote. Sometimes a journey must end for a new one to begin. We've been trying to keep it to ourselves, though some of you may have heard Sarah and I are expecting a baby very soon, as you said. The prospect of being a father and getting to watch my wife become a mother is both humbling and exciting. I look forward to the next adventure. That said, I'm going to bring this chapter of my life to an end and put my focus and energy on my family. With that, Panic at the Disco will be no more. Yeah, because that's very open-ended. Does that mean, like, in 2 weeks, he's going to have, like, a brand new title, a brand new view, like, a different adjective in a different location?
Yeah. It's,
Worrying at the pharmacy.
I reckon 5 years.
Five?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, like, I don't know how much trouble he's in with the tax man, or could be in trouble with the tax man over there. Like, that's usually what it is, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Because the strike while the iron's hot, like, if you, or then again, equally, walk out when you're on a high, you know, those past four, and that's his UK performance, let alone what the US numbers are probably. If that's your UK numbers as a US band, your US numbers are going to be just as solid.
He has had a lot of controversy these past couple of years, like 2020, again, cancel culture tried to get hold of him and finish him off. And again, I've read up some of the stuff and some of the allegations and things like that, but I haven't read deep enough
to into them the
to dig myself that hole on this podcast. If someone wants to find me and buy me a few drinks, I'll tell you what I think, but I'm not about to open that kind of worms on here. If you want to hear about the controversies and that kind of stuff, they're everywhere else on the internet. Go have a look for them. But yeah, I reckon, I don't know, a lot of people have said they've not enjoyed Viva Last Vengeance as much as other albums. Like, even, like, proper hardcore fans that I've been, like, reading articles from and finding stuff out about didn't seem as on board with that as a album concept rather than some of the other later stuff by him. So
yeah, but I think you got respect, like, walking out on a high, or just knowing when to end it, knowing when to call it quits, not drag it out, not end like a wet fart or like a TV series that doesn't know when to stop.
Yeah, like Walking Dead.
Yeah, just, you know, knowing just when we've had enough now.
Yes. Done.
Like, we had a strong go, finished.
Yeah, fair play to him. And we've got Fall Out Boy. Fall Out Boy are back. So,
well, thing
is, anyone's looking to fill that hole.
Maybe that's just the balance in the universe. Like, as long as there's one stage or another where bands have got stupidly long song titles, like, a band, like, obviously, he was very, like I said, towards the modern stuff, it's very much him, but obviously, you look at the usual words.
Fever, isn't it? It's the only difference between Martyrdom and Suicide is the press coverage.
Well, like, even if you just, like, open it up on Spotify, I know I'm on my phone, so you always can't see it, but, like, there are one, two, three, four songs with ellipsis. because it can't fit the full title on the screen.
Yeah.
And then there's a good like two or three others that are on the like ruddy limit, you know, before hit the three dots for like share, add to queue. So maybe it's just the balance of the universe. There's only so many pop punk bands that can have so many words.
Yeah.
Like, so just one before the other. You know, yin and yang and all that. I don't know.
Got a character quota.
But no, he's an iconic voice. You know him a mile off.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the stuff that they've dropped, the tracks will stay iconic and stay as kind of...
Maybe I'll use this as a chance to delve deeper into some of the albums, but I like what I like, and like each one it is a certified banger of all the three or four that I named. Mm. I'd be quite happy with just them and Need No More.
But... Yeah, I'd recommend listening to Death of a Bachelor a bit more, because that is, like, everything I've heard off that album has been like, this is really fucking good. So yeah, I'm going to give that a bit more of a go. But yeah, that was the life and death of Panic at the Disco. I'm sure they'll be back. I'm sure. I'd say 5 years. 5 years, they'll be back.
I'll go three. I'm going to cut you under.
Mate, that's, yeah. 3 years.
The baby can now walk, I'm out. Yeah. This is not a cute thing that, like, you know, he'll power through the terrible twos. And then it's like, I'm going on top.
Yeah, is it a Lee Mark joke? We've always wanted three kids. And now I've got two. I only want one. Cool beans.
R.I.P. Panic at the Disco.
Absolutely. They'll be back. But so yeah, that was the us talking about Panic at the Disco, from the news that they're disappearing and will be no more for the time being. So yeah, if you like this, pop us a shout out. We're on Facebook. We're on Insta. We're now on TikTok, which is quite a thing, you know, because I'm cool, man. I'm keeping well into my mid-20s. Keeping up with the times. But yeah, we got like 1,500 views on that, and it's been out for like 2 days.
That's pretty crazy.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, man. So yeah, we're on TikTok. We're at gemsofrock@gmail.com. But your easiest way to get hold of us is probably Facebook, because that's the one that I've constantly got in my hand. But yeah, if you want to hear us talk about anything or anyone in particular, if you've got a band that you think we should listen to in our Danny Says Try This, that part that we've not properly named or got jingles for yet, please... give us a shout out. But yeah, it's mind-blowing that people have been still tuning into it since, like, we've not put anything out for a few months. It's mad. So yeah, they're still growing. And yeah, we have hit 4,000 downloads total now. So, mate, it's a fucking milestone. I'm going to get us new t-shirts printed at some point. I'm not. I'm not lying to you. But yeah, thank you for everyone for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Speak to you soon.